Renew Center, July 31st, 2022. After meditation and bhajans, Kavi announces that tonight's study circle is the continuation of discussion on the book I Am the Child. Tonight, Sat reads page 19.
All right, that's where we left off on parents' preparation. Let's put it this way. Those who are unconscious are like sleepwalkers, which most of us are. And those who are conscious are living as it was intended. In the chapter on youth, the way to achieve this awakening is written. Now here we see, just by knowing the difference between conscious and unconscious, we can be alert to stay present. Going back to how we can prepare ourselves for the birth of our child, here are the few simple examples. Before we go that, let's share if now we are aware when we are unconscious and what is the sign of it, what happens to us, and how do we feel when we are conscious, what takes place, and what are the benefits of each or not.
For me, I find out I'm unconscious when I find out that I'm not in the present moment at all. I'm either the past or future or somewhere else. And when I am conscious, it feels really light and flowy. And just, it feels good.
When I'm not unconscious, I feel it because I don't feel good. You know, it doesn't feel right. I don't feel okay. I don't feel comfortable in my skin. And like the feelings take over.
Mm-hmm.
But at times, there is a lag for me to notice it. Sometimes mm-hmm. when emotions are strong, then it takes a while to... I noticed that I shouldn't go later on, or even maybe at that moment too. But sometimes it's hard to stop the driving.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest signs for me is when I feel like I'm rushing. That's almost always like a wake-up moment for me, where I realize I've unconsciously gone with a whole bunch of garbage. And then when I pull it back in, I feel settled and relaxed and aware versus just like a unconscious busybody.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same as what Mahar just said. It's just until my whole body's like calmed down and I'm able to just mm-hmm. take a deep breath and not rushing and thinking of everything.
For me, the cue that I'm being unconscious, I agree with a lot mm-hmm. of what has been said. This mm-hmm. is just my way of finding out, is that I feel that when I'm unconscious, I'm just looking at the surface. I'm looking at the appearances. And when I'm a little bit, when I let myself be silent, a little, you know, just take the time, be in the present, I get a much deeper view of what might be going on in a situation or in a, you know, with thoughts. And that depth of understanding is so, like Farhan was saying, so calming and so peaceful, because you're not just reacting to some shadows.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that you have a better, deeper understanding of what's going on. And you, like you said, you have taught us, you don't solve problem at the level of the problem. You go above that, you're mm-hmm. even deeper, and you kind of handle it that way.
For me, I think unconscious, some of the, along with what everybody else said, is when I feel worried or doubt or overwhelmed, that can be a sign to me that I'm unconscious. Because when I'm conscious, I don't feel any of those. There's clarity instead of just worry and feeling overwhelmed and the fog.
But
if
I don't know, استرس. مثل خواب میمونه، یه حالت خیلی همین ناآگاهانه که مثل مهی که روی وجود آن گرفته باشه یه همچه حالتی. خب خوشبختانه الان تفاوتش با قبل این که قبل کاملا اصلا ناآگاهانه بود، متوجه نمیشدم، ولی الان این تفاوتو نه همیشه، ولی وقتی یادم میاد یا خردی یادم میاد یا اینکه متوجه میشم که اصلا حضور ندارم، توجه پراکنده است، روی افکار روی احساسات برمیگردانم، حالا یه موقع با سوال کردن یا رو قول یا یه موقع هم میگم کیه چیه تو هستی من که داره فکر میکنه یا بخواد مسائل مشکلات رو حلش.
So Hala says that for me also, being unconscious, I feel worry or stress. It's like I'm dreaming. It's like there's this fog over me. Luckily, before, I was completely unconscious. But now, sometimes when I remember, I can see that I'm not present or that my attention is on the thoughts or the emotions. And I can bring it back either by questioning, who is this that is thinking and wants to solve a problem, or with the promise.
Anybody else on Zoom?
Hi, Satya.
Hi, Annie.
I wanted to say for me, when I'm conscious, there's a simplicity that my life flows by. And when I'm unconscious, I have kept that thief company for a little bit too long. And most of the time, it's because of my ego and the defense of my ego or something along those lines that grabs my attention, and I've stayed in its company for too long, and then the simplicity is not only gone, but there's chaos in my mind, and then I realize, oh gosh, I've spent way too much time with the thief, and then I try to switch it around.
Hi, this is Adrienne. When I'm unconscious, my mind is just kind of terrorizing me, but I was just wondering, if that's what you meant by saying you're not who you think you are. Mm-hmm. I feel like I remember you saying that a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, when we are unconscious, there is only imagery in our unconscious. There is not a real feeling of being, existence. So you really don't feel Adrian as the reality, which is having this unconscious thoughts. But whatever we pay attention too much, when our attention goes to anything too long, we identify with it. We become one with it. It's like when we are angry, we see the anger, our body is reacting, and then as soon as we say, I'm angry, you become angry. You are part of that energy. So when you are conscious, you realize that you were not the imagery that the mind displayed. And you are not even the watcher of that and involvement of that. It's their tranquility always there as your anchor of being. So as I see from all of us, we have left that life that was 100% unconscious and so real, even though it was unconscious, so real, so painful. Now it seems like there is a sparks that happens through the wisdom, through the practice, through the understanding, that sooner or later turns our attention to the fact that we are being unconscious and we are not actually being. We're some sort of becoming a figure that is temporary. None of the entities that the mind makes us think we are is permanent. One day we say we're happy, next minute is not. So these are different ideas of ourselves. But just knowing, the knowingness is like, in the Bible say, be still and know. Just knowing is enough for us to remember now and then and release ourselves of it. If there is no more comment, I'll go on. Now, the first step, but let me read this step as we are the child. Forget about if you have a child. You don't need to help your child. Let's do it as ourselves. That's the way we want to raise ourselves. Take a few minutes during the day or night to close your eyes and feel the silence within. Even if you are in a noisy place, make it a habit to feel your silence, the ever-presence in you. Most of us have a habit of feeling our unpleasant emotion, our physical tiredness, or our unpleasant thoughts. Here we stop to only feel the silence. Nothing needs to change. No need to find a quiet place. Just shift your attention to silence as often as you can remember it. It is simple. It does not require extra time. It doesn't require extra time. Let's see if this is true. Did we all experience that does not require extra time or extra place? I mean, we are in amongst each other. We still were able to feel the silence. Any comment on this part? Anybody that has done it can come and tell us about their finding.
Just gonna say I loved again how immediately you can just switch and go there when we mm-hmm. when you were reading it. And I'm very tired today. I really, when you were reading about physical tiredness, I was feeling tired, and in that moment I was just able to go in, and I was just yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, the body wasn't there with the sensation in it.
I wanted to also share the fact that I recently have practiced silence a lot, because that is something that I have found to be very helpful for me, especially when my emotions get out of hand. And normally I feel it in my heart, because my heart starts beating very fast and the silence calms me down. And I wish I knew this much earlier when I was working, because there were many times that I could have avoided emotional stress or bring some of those emotions home with me. So it has been extremely helpful to me recently.
Very glad to hear that. Now, the silence is the base that we all share. But the thoughts vary in each of us. So which one is permanent? The one that we all can share, or the one that is differs in each person? So that alone shows that our existence is one and the same, and existence is without movement. It is tranquility and perfection itself that all call God. Anybody else?
I just feel like it's just that much easier when I'm in satsang with everybody.
Yeah.
Which is just so amazing to be with people and not have the thoughts as the main focus. What an amazing gift.
Yeah. You said it. particularly when you know the truth, it becomes like an oxygen to keep breathing that air. Before, we were oblivious to having peace. We wanted it, but it was so far away that it was not an oxygen for us. Oxygen was just a period between fulfillment of a desire and release of that desire from the mind. But the more you advance, actually, the more you seek that type of company, whether alone with yourself or listening to a audio or reading a sentence and pondering over it. But the main purpose of having a community of Sai Baba Center and satsangs is really because it's a different type of oxygen. It's an oxygen that rejuvenates your soul, and believe me, we all need it. Otherwise, the little by little, the scale, one side goes up and the other one begins to weaken down. So this is why I say this is not our life. As long as we are in Maya, we have to have an eye on it, of keeping that balance any way we can. And one of the best ways is satsang, the company of the same.
So a few days ago, without any particular reason or any preparation or anything, I was closing my eyes and I feel like this happiness, this like ananda joy inside.
Yeah.
Is it the same as silence?
Yes. I'm sure that when you felt that unreason, that's a new word, I know it doesn't exist in English, unreason love that you felt, the mind wasn't there anymore. For that moment, there was a release of tension and the love bubbles up. Yes, it sprung from the center, from our being. Yeah. Ready for step two? You guys are the child now, including myself. Wow, wow. Step two, be conscious when you wake up in the morning or when you are leaving home for work. Being conscious in now is not time bound. In fact, it knows no time. It is being present in your presence. Does everybody understand this sentence? It is being present in our presence. Let's try it. Better now than never. Let's ponder on this and see if we can realize it within our own self. It is being present in our presence. If we can achieve that at all time, you're enlightened soul. Your voyage in different lifetime has ended. Anybody would like to share?
It's hard to share.
Mm-hmm. I just can't believe that it makes sense to me now. So
yeah,
I know I'm progressing.
Yes, it makes sense to you because you're ripened. Otherwise, it would be gibberish. and the next is experiencing on the spot. Because reading something without pondering and to some extent taking it deeper to deeper understanding is just reading. That's all it is.
As Nilu said, it's hard to share, but for me, when I do this practice, it has a lot of joy and newness. This is how I understand that I'm doing. But now, while you were reading it, I want to ask you, what is my present?
Beingness. Beyond your thoughts, words, and action, and emotion, there is a beingness that we don't give it a chance to feel it because the mind wants to become. Becoming is creation. The creation became a creation. But what made the creation become is the being. Something had to exist in order to have. I know I'm talking to myself, but is it going far up your head or are you guys are okay?
We're
okay.
Good. This presence is that which is one between me and you and us.
Yes.
Sachin, I have a question too. You have said before, and I never understood it, but I think now I do, you said consciousness is being aware of itself.
Yes.
Is that the same?
That's it. That's this sentence.
Sachin, what we just did, there are times where just like now, I can do it and I feel it, and it's wonderful. And there are times where it comes for me, and I'm just walking around in it, and it's incredible.
Beautiful.
But there's a lot of times where it's none of that, and it's also not bad. I'm not like, I wonder, is there another level of unconscious where you're not quite miserable yet, but you're still, but like, you're not feeling that
well? We talked about that.
It's the same question I asked before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I want to just make sure that was
I
the same.
Yeah, I might be too tired to you repeat yourself.
I was wondering if it was the same answer. I thought, so thank you. Okay.
May I ask one question too, Sachin? I was just thinking, and it might be the same as Radha said, but it came to me in a different way. Because you asked earlier, are we aware when we're conscious or unconscious? And when you led us through that practice, I thought, I think when I'm conscious, I'm aware of my existence.
Yes.
And when
of course.
I'm not, then
yes.
I doesn't exist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's exactly what I was explaining. Step two. Children, are we ready?
Yes.
Being conscious of all you see, nature, cloud, air, wind, the wetness on the ground, colors, smell, this keeps you present. And being present does not experience past or future. It is happy and new. Now, one of the ways that I know is very, very effective, if you're having a harder time just feeling it automatically, anything that you see, hear, touch with every part of your being without allowing your mind to interpret the scenery or the sound, you feel the present because you're feeling the presence of the tree. You're feeling the presence and they're one and the same, like we were talking just now. And then you find a oneness between yourself and the nature because you are not dividing it to a tree, a water, a bird, a this, a that. When we are fully hearing, fully seeing. And there are times that we give compliment. We want to divide it because it's such a beautiful, we want to be grateful and devotional. So we do that. But for feeling the present is totality.
Can I ask another question?
Go ahead.
So when that practice where you're like feeling and listening completely, seeing completely, has that effect on me, but the passive gaze, which seems like the opposite, has the exact same effect on me.
They're both the same.
Why? Why are they
different? Because you are passively looking at this. Just because you're seeing does not mean you're not passive. Passive is not about the 2020 vision. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, look at this flower. Look at holy. You see that you are also passive.
Mm-hmm. I was going to also share that at one time in my life, we've been to live in Wyoming, and you have a lot of nature around you. And there was one big rock called Devil's Tower that we went to, and there was a huge rock there for rock climbing, and it had so much energy. It was amazing. When I was there, I couldn't think about anything. I was so impressed with the greatness of the rock, the shape of the rock, and the energy that it was presenting to me.
Yeah.
Later, I heard that the Native Americans found this rock to be holy to them when they lived in that area. But it was an amazing, amazing feeling when I was there. Just wanted to share that. And I was really present there.
Yeah, there are some rocks or cliffs or mountains that have a vortex type of an energy that for some reason that's what it is. We had one by our home at Lake Tahoe. Now, let's do this practice. Those of you that are on Zoom, please do the same thing. Look at any place in your room. This time without analyzing, just give it a good gaze. And it will be passive because your mind is not working about it. And see where it takes you. All right.
It's like an oval energy, like love.
Hmm. Anybody else?
Took me within.
Yeah, that's the result.
I was looking at a bolster that I used for yoga, and I was thinking, I love this thing, not because it's a bolster, but because, well, it's like been out of shape because of all the times I've used it. I just felt thankful for the energy in my life that I could see in it. I don't know, I just saw deeper into my yoga bolster.
This is very good. This is appreciation and devotion. Now let's do what I'm asking you to do. Look at that bowl of yoga and have absolutely no opinion, just seeing. No opinion, just that object is in front of you, no story. What was the difference this time, Adrienne?
It was a lot of details and patterns that I am always trying to make sense of, but...
Okay, forget about your bowl. Look someplace else that you don't have as much memory.
I'm a tough nut.
Look at the something that no memory. And just look. If you have a window, look outside of the window. And just be quiet and relax. Just leave yourself alone, as if it's nowhere to go, nothing to discover. free to just look. Just relax your whole body. And the only job you have is just open your eyes and look for like a child that has no impression of what he's looking at, just looking. When you look like this, the way I'm saying, you're really being. You're just being. How does it feel? Is it any difference, or do you have some stories you want to share?
It makes me realize how many layers there are to let go.
Yes. Well, we can sit here the rest of the time and unpeel the onion, but now you got a sense of it. I think there is a lot of feeling of responsibility that you need to put down, and a lot of explanation you need not to have. A child is very fresh, moment to moment, because everything means nothing to them. Everything is the same. They're just looking. They are not looking to discover something. And that looking translates to being when it is quiet and relaxed. And it's something I highly recommend it to you, even if it's for a few seconds. We've got 2 minutes. So therefore, I'm going to quit. We have a step 3 to look forward to. If you have any aha moment, go ahead.
I habitually analyze what I see.
I know.
Unfortunately, that predicament.
Yeah, you and Adrian both. Okay.
Yeah, it's an engineering problem. Mm-hmm. Really, a predicament. It takes quite a bit of something to move away from that.
Yeah.
I was looking at that flower. I started analyzing its biology and all that. Okay, no. I started looking at its shape and color and, you know, and then I almost like unzoomed, unfocused, and the flower just vanished. And I just went right inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I did that.
Yeah.
It just like, there was no flower. Mm-hmm. There's only this.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Even if you see the flowers, because you had to unpeel it just like Adrian did, it gets to the point that you look at it, because there is no explanation, it's just as well not being there. And then you see that there is only consciousness without shape.
Yeah, it's so spontaneous coming to that consciousness for me.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even thinking
because
about
you're really, yes. Because you released the obstacle to it. Yeah? Namaste to all of you.